Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Zero Pucks Given in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, Manscaped Male Grooming Products, and on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Delighted to welcome Chumps with Rattlesnakes team manager James Waddington. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I am outstanding. Thank you very much. How are
Fantastic.
You?
I'm very well. Thanks so much for coming on. We keep having fleeting chats either at the rink or in McDonald's late on a Sunday night.
We do, yeah.
We finally got round to actually getting one in on the podcast because your sort of role at Chelmsford is incredibly interesting. You take a really detailed role in a lot of the girls' play, and you've recently just told me for the Chelmsford juniors as a whole in doing their fixtures.
Yes, yeah. So I jumped into the role of manager. The girls' team was initially set up in 2019, just kind of jogging along, getting a handful of girls together. I think we had about eight or nine, so not enough to put a team in. And not a cohesive group. And then kind of COVID hit. We had to stop training. I think I picked up the baton of being the manager of the team in May 20. And it was another one of those situations where I kind of jumped into it on the basis of nobody else appeared to want to do it. I'm so glad I did. It was tough in 2020 because obviously we were dealing with all of the bad stuff. And I hadn't had the opportunity to do kind of any of the good stuff. So we entered the league in the 2021 season. As you'd expect for a new team, we got pretty much pounded. But you know, every day's a school day, right? So the girls went out, fought as hard as they could, and we were just kind of earning our stripes out there, being out there. So it was brilliant to have that first season. We did achieve a win in that season, which was more than I think the head coach had put a target on, just to gain a point that season, you know, see how we got on, and got two in one game, which was cracking. So, second season, they worked so hard. The coaches were amazing because we've got female coaches as well. So they worked really hard, and we got to national playoffs. We lost our semi-final, but I said to the girls, you will never, ever get a game closer than when we played Kingston. Kingston, you know, good team. Steamrolled the league last year in the north. We were like seven. We scored the first goal, which I think panicked them. And we were like 7-3 down with 9 minutes left in the third. We drew it back to 7-6. And when the buzzer went for the end of the period, the puck finished three quarters of the way over Kingston's goal line.
Oh, God.
So I said to the girls, you will never, ever have a game that close ever
again. That's painstaking, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know they're having a good season so far. I've learned a whole bunch of lessons along the way, and one of the lessons I've really learned is I suppose it's a bit of an opinion thing, but I think for them to be great on the ice side of the glass, they have to be great the other side of it. as people and groups. You know, I've got 20 players plus three netminders who are eligible to play currently, and they socialise off the ice as well. They come to watch the other mixed games, and they all hang about together. And it's really, really nice to see. We try and set up a few bits of social bits and pieces, get them out together, and the parents as well, right? Because the girls wouldn't be able to achieve the success they achieve without having the opportunities backed up by their parents, you know, kind of carting around the country, funding them, and helping me, right? So home games, I can't do on my own. I do with coaches and the players, but I get so much support from the parents to do all the other bits and pieces on a game day that have to be done. So scoring, time sheets, game sheets, goal judges, refreshments, all these sorts of sin bins. You know, I've got all these guys. They're actually fantastic and on board, and you know, they support me and the academy and the girls' team so well, and I'm so grateful for that input from them.
Yeah, because it's kind of, I mean, everyone knows that hockey is an expensive sport to play. It's an incredibly time-consuming commitment sort of sport that sense. And you're on both sides of the fence, obviously being the team manager, and both your girls play as well.
Yes. Yeah.
When was the last time you had a weekend to yourself?
probably about September, actually. I think I've got one Sunday off between now and the middle of June and no weekends.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's kind of, I suppose, my choice and my girls' choice. I mean, Ellie's, my oldest, is sort of an adult now, so she sorts a lot of her own arrangements out as far as travel's concerned. My youngest is busy. It's a bit bonkers because she plays for a bunch of teams. So she's got a challenge of teams, and she plays for another junior setup, and she's doing seniors in Division 1 and Elite. So, but that's, I guess, you know, dedication of the children. Again, it comes back to that whole situation that we're kind of enablers and sponsors and money pits and all that sort of stuff. And for my sins, so Ellie's a player, so it's not too bad on the cost of kit, especially the amount of time she plays. She doesn't wear it out and she stopped growing. Kira gets her a 700 quid set of pads every 18 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, so because she's a netminder.
And you were a goalie yourself as well, weren't you?
I wear goalie kit and try and get in the way of it. It's probably the best way I can put it. I've been so busy cutting the kids around. I only trained six times last year, and I've not been out this year. You know, anybody who knows how I play, they will probably, I'm maybe goalie entitled, but not necessarily an ability. But I do enjoy it. It's a great crack, and it's, you know, there's some fabulous guys that I've had the opportunity to go out on the ice with. You know, beginners right through to I. When I get the opportunity, I cut my time either with the Reapers or with the Mischiefs. So, you know, I've had ex-chieftains cranking shots at me, and they normally somehow manage to find the square inch that hasn't got any full padding on.
Yeah.
Like Rich Whiting, Sean Martin. Yeah, I've got injuries from all of those guys. And Jaden Balker, who plays for Huskies, Aringo Huskies, he broke my thumb in an under-18s training session just because I'm bad goalie, not because he was particularly vicious. It's just I made a poor save and exposed a bit of my glove that I shouldn't have done, and I carried the cost of it. But there you go. It's, you know, the sport's amazing. I actually love it. I've met so many great people and had so many amazing experiences with people all around the country. I've got friends in, you know, all over Deeside, Bristol, Cardiff, you know, you name it, all over, and it's great.
Mm.
And I've had these conversations with some of the girls when we've had late night training over in Guildford. You know, I jump in with another parent, another player, or they jump in with me, and we just kind of come to this conclusion of, as a group of players, you play for the same team, and either you will move to another team at some point as a group, or one will go and the others will follow because those friendships are so tight.
Yeah.
And it's such a great thing to see them enjoying it. They take it seriously, but they have fun with it as well. And that's, you know, that I say to the girls in the team, if ever you'll have a bad training session, right, or you'll have a bad game, that's the nature of the beast. You know, sometimes your head's not in it, stuff's going on outside of hockey. But I say to all of them, there's kind of two paramount things, really. One, if you're consistently hating it, think about whether you want to do it anymore. As much as I hate to lose players, a player that's not fully engaged does themselves no good and does their team no good.
Mm.
You know, so, and we actively encourage where possible the girls playing mixed. Yeah. So, I mean, some call it boys is mixed. Obviously, the percentage of girls that play mixed hockey, in quotes, is nowhere near 50-50.
No.
But the experiences they get doing that are... So women's and girls' hockey is full, is contact but non-checking, right? So you can't be smashing people off the puck. Obviously, when you play mixed from under 14s upwards, you've got checking going on. And it does make them, it gives them exposure to faster play and more physical play. So when they bring that back to the girls' game, they are much better players for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, me personally and Jenny Bolton, who's the captain of the Cobras, she's my head coach, and all the other guys, if we say to the girls, if you get the opportunity to train and or play mixed, embrace it. And then make your choices on which games you play based on how you feel and what you think is going to be best for you. And that only becomes not a problem, but a decision to be made if there's a clash between two fixtures on the same day or same time.
Yeah, so, you see a lot of, especially the juniors, when they start playing up. Loida and Rolf, who played a fantastic game for the Chieftains last night, had played on the Saturday. I think he was supposed to play on the Sunday as well, but juniors-wise. But
18s played in Peterborough on Saturday, yeah. I'm not sure what they were doing Sunday, but yeah. So, but yeah, like you say, you know, they're spread thin. I mean, talking about that, so the opportunities for girls when it comes to senior hockey are the age is different. So if you look at kind of 12s, 14s, 16s, 18s mixed, it's a 2-year bracket.
Mm.
It's two birth years, whereas girls is 6. So you can play girls from 10 up to 16. But in the same way as if you wanted to play for the Warriors or the Chieftains, as regardless of gender, you have to be, I think, 15 to train and 16 to play.
Yeah.
Women's, I think, based on the national rules of competition, you can train from 11 and you can play from 14.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice. I mean, being a little bit selfish running the girls' team, the more girls I've got training senior women's at a faster pace, more physical, they bring that back.
They do, yeah.
To the girls' game. And I think it's benefited quite a lot of them. So I've got, in the team that I'm very fortunate to be involved with, I've got 3 girls playing elite for Guildford Lightning and 1 training with them. I've got 3 playing for the Cobras this year and 7 playing for the Pythons. There's a bit of crossover because you can play up one division. So I've got a couple who play Division 2 up to Division 1. And I've got 1 who plays Division 1 up to elite.
Yeah.
So they're huge opportunities. Obviously, you need the backing for those teams to invest in young players, right? But it gives them a pathway. But bearing in mind they can get involved in seniors at 14 and still carry on playing junior girls hockey till 16. And if they have the capability and the ability, they can carry on playing mixed hockey till 18.
Yeah, so lots of opportunities to get on the ice then, isn't there?
Yeah, for sure. So, but, you know, they do bring it back. And, you know, there's good relationships between the girls' team and the senior team so that we kind of work into the go, right, okay. So I think, you know, the senior setup in Chelmsford, although they can train from 11, the reality is it's a numbers game, right? And you don't want to flood the ice with lots of very small people that might not necessarily have the ability to roll into that yet. So I think the Cobras and the Pythons will accept people from the age of 13 to train.
Yeah.
As long as they turn 14 in that season. So hence I've got, like I say, I've got 20 players and 3 goalies, and I've got, you know, a good chunk of them. So 7, 8 plus a goalie playing Division 1 and 2 in Chelmsford.
Yeah. And as you say, bringing that back to the junior level.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, obviously it's very, very helpful that leadership within the senior setup in Chelmsford, you know, either have a vested interest in the girls' team or their children play for the girls' team. So, you know, it's not, you know, it's quite nice to see that overlap, even though the academy and the women set up in both Guildford and Chelmsford are completely separate entities. But I think these teams, you need a balance of experience and energy, I guess, and that's not to take anything away from senior players or juniors. But obviously the juniors don't have the experience of the senior game. The seniors have that experience and that knowledge which they can share. And then you've got the kind of almost blind enthusiasm of youth.
Yeah.
So they'll travel wherever they need to travel to just to get ice time. So, you know, the girls that play Cobras, we had a jolly jaunt up to Dumfries just before Christmas.
Yeah.
But just a 60-minute game. So thankfully we brought the points home with us as well, which was a result. But
that certainly makes it worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would have been a nightmare coming home with an empty boot. But there you go. So, and I guess the other thing that I'm massively proud of when it comes to the team that I'm involved in is a lot. We've had an awful, I think we've had about half the team trialing for various international duties. And obviously the unfortunate thing about that is there's a lot of very, very complimentary or capable people, but it's tough, right? So people get cut. And we have to be there to support those that don't make it and say, well, look at where you've come from in such a short time. That's a huge achievement to get to the last knock-ins. But as a result of it, I've got two representing England at under-13s, three at under-15s, and I've still got five trialling for GB and under-16 women's.
Yeah.
So, but they're an amazing bunch. And, you know, I view the hard work is done by the coaches and the girls. All I do is shuffle paperwork.
I'm sure it's more than that. Is there, for the girls, is there a draft or a conference type system for them to start improving their game playing against the best players in this country?
At present, as far as I know, only if they're playing mixed hockey. So, however, the kind of governing bodies and the relevant people that are kind of involved with stuff, I think that they're trying to make more about the girls' game and make it more forefront.
Yeah.
So I attended women's nationals last year. So although, for example, in Chelmsford, the girls' team falls under the academy, most teams fall under a junior club, but not all of them, right? So if you look at Kingston have elite Division 1, Division 2, and a girls' team. That's their setup. So the Kingston under-16 girls' team is actually nothing to do with Hull Academy.
Yeah.
But all of the girls' teams fall under the women's rules of competition. So the girls' nationals are at the same time as Division 2, Division 1, and elite. So those that are fortunate enough to go, they get to see those games as well. And Faye Andrews and a bunch of other people who support her did such an amazing job at nationals last year. It's probably one of the best experiences of my life being up there that weekend. It was so much fun. But we had showcase last year, and the governing body put on a Friday night draft England game for the under-15s and under-13s. So there was on a Friday night before the whole weekend, there was a kind of a national level girls session, which was you know, absolutely fantastic. And then of course a few of the girls from various teams got to carry on and play draft that weekend as well. It was a pretty manic weekend for me, because Kira was playing on the Friday night, and I think we got back to our hotel about 11:30, and she had to be back at the rink for 5:30, I think. So
yeah, I think I remember us discussing this in McDonald's late one night, actually.
Yeah, so you know, but it's kind of from a parent's perspective and a manager's perspective. So I'm finished managing this year because Kira Age is out of the 16s, and I've got a very capable lady called Zoe who's going to kind of follow me in. She's got two girls who play. So Summer is a top 14 this year, and she has another daughter called Lola who's 9 and a goalie. So we've got four goalies across a really good age gap.
Yeah.
So we've got kind of 15, 12, 10. We've got 15, 14, 11, I think, and 9. So, you know, there's a good spread of ability. And within the Chelmsford Academy, the guys that are kind of at the front door, bringing kids into the sport at a young age. They've done what I can personally say is an absolutely amazing job, because our academy is, the Chelmsford Academy is somewhere in the region about 150 kids, give or take half a mile's barn. Last time I looked, 40 of those were girls.
Yeah, that's quite a good little ratio, actually, that, isn't it?
And they have to be spread. And the other thing, I think the thing that, if you look on elite prospects, right, you see, and you start digging into it, you see girls' teams that have come and gone. I don't mean from a capability perspective. They've literally come in 4 or 5 years, disappeared, like closed down.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with a coach at another team some time ago. We were talking about things, and you kind of have to have your academy backing it, or an organisation that backs it and believes in it, which is, you know, where I've been very lucky. You have to make sure that you learn to play at the front end, has got the right balance of gender and people coming in, but they have to have somewhere to go at the other end, because unfortunately, very few girls will make it into senior mixed hockey other than rec or women's, which I hate, but I kind of understand. So if you look across, you know, I don't know necessarily everybody player in all the divisions, but you've got Ellie Wakeling in Division 1 at Romford, you've got Abby with the Warriors, and obviously because I'm a goalie parent, I know a bunch of goalies. So Kayla Poole, you might know of.
Kayla Poole at Oxford, yeah.
Yeah, so she, you know, she's doing great things over there.
Joey Yulston Smith plays at Coventry Blaze as well.
Yeah, so, you know, the opportunities are there.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Which is great to see, but I guess a lot of girls probably won't necessarily make it into kind of under 18s. And that's just, you know, I hate it. It's a safety thing as well as an ability thing for some players. But, you know, the opportunities are there. But I guess, you know, it's the same way as with youngsters when they get to under 14s and full contact and check-in. It's whether, you know, regardless of gender, it's whether there's a safeguarding perspective to make sure that they're capable of receiving hits, taking hits, making hits without getting sort of killed.
Well, no, because, I mean, as you say there, they might get to that stage and then think, actually, I don't like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why people make decisions to stay doing both or just focus on one. Because you get girls that go, I'm not going to play girls anymore. I don't want to play under 16s. I just want to focus on playing mixed because I'm getting to do 16s and 18s. So, the door swings both ways based on what suits people. I love the fact that, I suppose you could be argued it's slightly skewed more positively for girls in that they do have lots of opportunity. So, you know, if potentially if you're a lad playing under 12s going up to under 14s and somebody makes a decision based on your ability and your stability that you might not be safe playing 14s, and you're kind of out of hockey until 18 unless you're going to play roller.
Yeah.
For girls, if you get the door shut on you for the right reasons in mixed, you can still play girls.
Yeah.
And you can still carry on into senior women's and play rec when you get to 18 if you want. You know, the world's your oyster, right? So you can do whatever you like. But I think there's huge amounts of opportunity. And my kind of hope for it, we're lucky this year across the country in that the league is 2 teams bigger than it was last year. So there was 9 teams playing last year in under 16 girls. Now there's 11. Yeah, so, you know, that's 2 more. Great.
Yeah.
Some of the other setups, they're different, but there's some really good stuff going on in the female sport, which I think is, you know, superb. I suppose before I shuffle off my mortal coil, which will hopefully be a long time away, when you look across the country, I think there's somewhere in the region about 32 junior setups in the country. I would love there to be 32 girls teams, under 16 girls teams playing. You know, so it would be a nice headache for the IHA to have, or the IH to have, to go, right, we've got 32 teams, 16 in the north, 16 in the south. How do we run this? Oh, well, we need a Division 1 and a Division 2 team. Mm. We're trying to do some bits at Chelmsford as well to see if we can have a summer competition for an under 13 girls set up just kind of in 3 months in the summer, try and get some home ice. I've got to do some work on that with the person that's kind of leading that and pioneering it, just to reach out to other clubs and say, you know, even if they don't have a girls team, say, have you got any girls of this age group that would want to jump in with other people and just kind of
just to come and play?
Yeah, just get it going. So, you know, yeah, there's lots of people behind it. There's some such amazing people in the sport, for both genders. But the you know, what's going on at the Chelmsford Rink, that, you know, it's backed so much. So, you know, I've got two regular female coaches, so my head coach and another coach who come out, and then I've got a couple of parents who their daughters play. So they come out and coach. So, you know, we're very lucky in that the expertise that's being offered to the girls to learn stuff is right up there. I have no doubt that those that have done that, either continue to do mixed training or done a bit of mixed training in the past, it's benefited them. And I've seen a number of players who've come in from kind of 2021, when we had a come and try girls hockey, just come on so quickly because they've had opportunities to do so much training. So, but hopefully it's come across, I'm fiercely proud of the girls team and what they've achieved. And, you know, I hope that they can continue to enjoy the sport and stay as a close-knit bunch of friends, which I think they will.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's massively obvious, actually, that how proud you are of them. And rightly so, from what I've seen of them. You know, they're terrific to watch. And I've seen loads of videos online of Lola Basing in goal, 9 years old. She's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, she's fearless, bless her. She's fabulous. And it's a funny little kind of quirk of the girls' team, and maybe my obscure sense of humour. So quite a lot of them have got nicknames that I've given them, but agreed with them and their parents who call them. So, and Lola's is Barry.
Oh, right.
As in Manilow. Yeah, her name is Lola. She is a goalie.
Yeah.
And she's got a terrific character on her, because for the first 6 weeks, when I'm kind of walking the rink and go, all right, Barry, she really forthright comes up and looks at me and goes, my name is Lola. You know, it's kind of almost telling me off. And a few weeks after, I walked in and went, all right, Baz. And she came up to me, my name is Barry. but her sister is called Summer, so her nickname is Fruits, right down to the fact that I think she's got Fruits on her helmet and on a water bottle.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, but they are a terrific, you know, bunch of people. I'm not going to call them kids because that's patronising. They're just a terrific bunch of people.
Yeah. With your group of coaches that you've got there, I don't know if you've managed to catch up with the Danny Myers episode that we put out. Yeah.
I haven't done yet. No.
I'll lift the curtain slightly. It is Monday evening. It only came out today. But he was sort of saying that a lot of the coaches he spoke to from clubs that were either volunteers who were parents or were former players that got involved in coaching didn't actually know where to reach out for any help that they might need. Have you found that at Chelmsford, or have you got a good coach?
We're blessed with a lot of good coaches. It's somewhat ironic in that it's kind of that triangle. When you look at junior hockey, you know, you have 15 million under 10s and about half a dozen under 18s. That's just the nature of of the sport. And I think that you have a lot more coaches at the bottom end for the same reason, because you've got a lot more bodies who are involved in hockey, or their kids are getting into it and whatever else. So most of the coaches at Chelmsford are, I would suggest, have good hockey experience themselves. We have some outstanding coaches that have never played hockey. We're very lucky on that front. I mean, we're very, very lucky to have Jenny Bolton. You know, she's fabulous, and she's all about the girls' game and wants to see them succeed. And we've got a former Cobra. And even when we started, we had Lottie Herrier helping us. She's moved away because of education and whatever else, so she's not with us anymore. And at the time, when she was living around, we had Beth Hill.
Yeah.
So obviously, sort of GB fame. So you know, we're very, very fortunate, I think. But you know, there's a lot to be learned from each other, and there's a lot to be learned from the courses. But I think it's one of those vocations, especially if you come into hockey not knowing it, as I did. So as a family, we only started watching ice hockey in 2017. I kind of threw myself into it, sort of both feet first and ended up a bit like a rabbit in the headlights. And I'm not an especially great coach because I don't have that experience. And what I do know is more about netminding.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to get a bit more experience on the netminder front with you and King, hopefully in the summer at some of the camps he runs. But, you know, we're very lucky. I would say just across the board, we're quite top heavy with people who play, who do or have played the sport to a good level, and they bring that back in and reinvest it. You know, it has to be, it has to come from the heart of the kids. They have to want to do it, and they have to want to play it and appreciate that hockey is more than just what you do on the ice.
Yeah.
But when you look across the academy, I mean, our head coach, Alan Blythe, is very pro off-ice work. So all of the age groups, I think, up to probably under 14s, because I guess 16s and 18s will go off and do their own gym work. You know, they're almost adults and responsible for their own performance. But, I mean, I get to the rink early on a Tuesday for the girls' training session to set bits and pieces up. I had them run to netminder and girls' off-ice training session. I know they do it for 12s. Not sure why they do it for under 10s. And then the 14s go to a dedicated gym session with a personal trainer on a Thursday evening before their training. So, you know, there's a lot more to it than just sticking a set of skates on and having a blast.
Absolutely. And I mean, Alan Blythe was also a netminder, wasn't he, when he played?
He was. Yeah. So I think he played for Romford National.
I think he did.
I'm hoping I'm not misquoting him there, and I'm sure he'll give me a good battering this season.
He's been a guest on here, but it was a long time ago now.
Yeah. So, and again, when you start branching out, I mean, we're very lucky. We've got Alan, Shaw, Martin, Ben Clements, who do netminder training and expose you to other clubs. Not every club gets netminder training.
No.
And I think it can be a little sad that you see netminders just basically out there doing the best they can with some guidance from the occasional player or netminder and whatever they've seen on YouTube. Because the structured goalie coaching isn't there. And it's not... It's one of those things, I suppose, as a goalie parent and someone who's had a stab at it myself, you almost kind of wish that every player had a go at it once just so they could appreciate it's not quite as easy as it looks. You'd think, you know, chucking 17 stone, 6'2" man in front of a puck in an area that's 24 square foot would be quite easy, and it really isn't. I mean, I'm 50 this year, so I make it look bad anyway. But so we're hugely lucky within the Chelmsford Academy to have that capability, and then the spread of kids in all the age groups. You know, their dedication is across all the age groups is humbling, to be honest.
Yeah. On the academy as a whole, did any players go to the Quebec Pee Wee tournament this year?
Yes, they did. And apologies to anybody if I forget anyone, but I'm fairly sure that Dylan Smith, I think Ralph Champion, and Jaden Martin went.
Yeah, so another successful tournament, really. I think it was semi-finalists again this time. So it's...
Yeah. So, you know, what an experience, right? You know, to go and do that when you're like 10, 11 just must be awesome and something you will never, ever forget.
And well, last year I came up and I spoke to Ruben Terry and Jack Peachy Williams, who'd both been...
I remember you coming in,
And I was actually in awe of them. Because they dealt with this occasion so well. They were playing in front of hundreds of thousands of people in this enormous arena. Yeah. So young. And
I saw some of the videos and I was like, you know, you living your best life just doesn't cut it, does it?
It's no.
So, you know, it's what an experience for them. But, you know, I think, you know, we've got talent sort of popping up in international opportunities, you know, is starting to get quite strong. Obviously, it's more in the younger age groups, but that's where it all starts for
absolutely,
them.
Absolutely,
and that's why I'm so hugely proud of, you know, we had a lot more than qualified to get through to these various levels in England and GB, but, you know, it's kind of, well, you've got next year, you're still in that age group. So, you know, if you continue to accelerate your development the way you have done so far, you're going to be in with a really good shout again. So, brilliant. You know, it makes me so proud to see all the teams play. I don't see much in the way of under 10s, but I do try and pop along to the 16s and 18s when I'm not flitting around the country. And it's great to see them, but it's also really strange when you go to all these different places and you bump into people. I mean, I went to the Colchester Zoo. I had a week off the week before last. So in Chelmsford, I expect to bump into somebody from hockey, either a Chieftains fan, a Warriors fan, a player, one of the parents, it's almost a given. And I was at Colchester Zoo and had a 15-minute conversation with Nick Stevenson. Yeah, from the referee. So it's just, you can't get away from it, but I don't want to, so...
Absolutely. Do you think as a whole, looking at an academy like Chelmsford as a whole, that there's a problem with perhaps getting new people in, players that aren't what I would call legacy players, where their parents or their relatives have played the game, so they follow on? Are we getting in players that don't have that?
I'm not fully conversed with the breakdown of who's coming through, learning to play, but my feeling is no. So it's quite weird when you talk to people, because you've got people who know nothing about the game wanting to just have a go at it. I think the sad thing is people don't realise that ice hockey is a sport that you have to kind of start really early. Mm. If you're 11, 12 and you want to come to start play hockey, it's kind of, that's really tricky, because you've got kids who've been playing 5 or 6 years by that point. And especially if you're 12, because you're stepping straight into under 14s at full contact. So my feeling would be is probably a decent balance. Yeah. So, and I think the Learn to Play has a relatively large waiting list on it.
Yeah.
It's great to see so many kids who want to play. I mean, I do think the sport from a female perspective has a little bit of an image problem. So I made some reference to a come and try session at the academy. Sort of encouraged to be put on, and we had about 17 girls come along to that, and we've probably still got 12 or 13 of them. And there's one lass that came along, and I walked into the rink at about 11:30 to set it up for 12:15. There's a chap sitting down with his daughter talking to Martin Parfitt, who used to be the academy's head coach before COVID. And this girl, it was the first time she'd been skating. She would have been, maybe 11, 12 at the time. So we were going to start at 12:15. And her dad took her down to the skate shop, bought some hockey boots, got them ground, but not kind of heat molded. She came back and she played football to high standards. So the one thing that's very difficult to teach is positioning, and she's got that on tap because she's played football.
Yeah.
But so she's one of many still here, absolutely, really, really doing very well. But it's the way that we kind of, it sounds kind of weird almost, but the way that we encouraged people to come along to that event was just going down to look at public skates, watching youngsters skate, and then speaking to their parents.
Yeah.
And it would probably be fair to say that probably almost all of them turn around, oh, ice hockey, no, that's just fighting and smashing people up. Mm. Yeah. And that's why, my two started off figure skating. And really the way we got into hockey was my missus bought a ticket one Christmas as a present. We went to watch it, and my wife would turn around and go, she would say that she expected to hate it. And she is more vociferous at a hockey match than I am.
I stood behind her a couple of weeks ago, actually. I can attest to that.
yeah. So yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with, but, The principle around that family ticket was one, I would love to go and watch it, but she wanted the girls to see what else you can do with a pair of knives on your feet.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my eldest still retained a certain element of elegance in her skating, and it's like Kira just dumped it all straight away. She put on hockey boots and that was it. It was any pretense of elegance was gone instantly. So it's quite interesting how the two kind of, I've engaged with it, but yeah, it's just having all these kind of kids come along and just try it out in a safe and sort of nurturing environment. If you're nurturing, it's kind of a weird word for such a sport, but just, you know, this is the opportunity you can do. And it was run really well by a bunch of other coaches. We used to have a guy called Ferhat Tazunda who used to come along, and he introduced women's hockey into Macedonia.
Oh,
I think he was part of the national coaching team for Turkey, Turkey's national team. And we ran those girls just in a helmet, gloves, stick, and if they chose to, knee pads and elbow pads, just sort of wobbling around in the centre ice, learning some basic skills. And I'm so proud to say that most of them are still here. You know, and not just here because they turn up, they're here and developing and taking active parts in games and getting on the game sheet for the right reason.
Yeah.
So obviously the wrong one is kind of blipping up a 2 minute or worse. But, you know, they're getting goals and assists at the levels that they, the various levels they play at. So, you know, we've had games where there's been a relatively big score, but it's not just one person who's knocking out the back of the net. So, which gives me so much pride when I see that, you know, that, like I say, back to the dedication, the work they put in and the dedication of the coaching team, you know, is brilliant. And, yeah, it's just a fabulous thing to be involved in. So, and I will miss it next year when I'm not actively managing the girls team, but I'm not ready to let go of it yet in terms of, I don't just want to walk away from it. So, yeah, the plan is to go out and shovel some pucks around and set drills up while the proper coaches, as I would call them, can focus on coaching.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, as I'm sure you well know, although I'm sure you wouldn't like to admit, the sport just does not move on without people like yourself. So it keeps it running.
Yeah. But I dread to think how much time everybody puts in. You know, I mean, I've been fairly fortunate recently in that my wife has agreed to help out with sort of going to training. So if I wasn't on with you tonight, I've managed to sort of dodge Wednesdays and Mondays now. My wife goes to public skate with Ellie, and Kira goes along as well. So I'm now in a position where I get evenings where I can just do computer hockey stuff instead of real hockey stuff. You know, because
many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I do the stats for a bunch of teams as well, because obviously game day is not quite there yet. It's coming, but it's not quite there, and people want to know. So, you know, I do stats for the various teams that I have interfaced to one way or the other. But, yeah, it was a point. It was almost a bit of a joke that I spend more time with the academy's secretary and treasurer, or more awake time, than I do with my wife. It's too quite a factor. So, you know, but yeah, everybody, I mean, I think the thing that's great about it is obviously most people involved in the sport probably have a child who play it. Yeah. But nobody that I've come across has been that focused on just it being about their own child. If you volunteer to do whatever an academy, whether it's, you know, helping out the game day job, even if it's making cups of tea for refreshments to raise some money for the club. Everybody does it with a good grace, and there's never really any, you know, you get tired if you're down the rink every night, standing around freezing your tailpipe off, but that goes with the territory. If you've got kids that are committed to the sport and you want to name it for them, because, you know, I've only got 2 years left in it after this, sort of realistically. And then I personally find it very difficult to just be a parent at other organisations, you know. Because I'm fortunate in that I have the capability to provide some assistance. So sometimes I help out in a Warriors game and I go and sit in the penalty bin just to help out there. But I'll voluntarily go and fill the water bottles up during the break because I know it needs to be done. But, you know, just having the opportunity, and you gain the knowledge through experience, and having the opportunity to do all these different things is great. And that's why I just love it so much, because you're constantly around the sport. And, you know, there's lads playing in the Warriors and the Chieftains that have aged out that I've seen come through 18. So I haven't been around it that long. But, you know, when you see Benji Powell, Frankie Clover, Josh Faure, and a whole bunch of other guys out there, you know, Luke Conley, yeah, in goal, all these guys living their best life with hockey, regardless of what the results might be, they're going out and it's nice to see them progressing on to the next big thing after the academy.
Yeah.
At whatever level. So, you know.
And holding that enjoyment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I guess senior hockey is like a kind of, it's a fairly big commitment, right? Because you're probably paying another 50% of games on top to what you would have done as a junior. You know, if you're a 16 and you're playing 16s and 18s, you've probably got a lot of coverage. But once you get into 18s, it all starts to slow down. So then suddenly if you're being thrust into Division 2 and Division 1 at the same time, where they're playing like 30-plus games a season, it suddenly starts to get very busy and you start racking the miles up again. Yeah. The only flip side is when they're 18, you go, well, you've got a driving licence and I'll bung you some money. See you later. But yeah, I find it really difficult to not be involved. But you know, it's just something I'll have to live with at some point.
Yeah, I think to be fair, I'm quite similar. I like to get my, you know, jump in with both feet if I get involved in anything. And after myself and my daughter started to come and watch the Chieftains just before COVID, and then when we come back afterwards, and that's when I kind of looked around and said, like, I can't find any stuff online about, like, the league or about the game. I was like, well, let me start this. And it went from me speaking into my phone for half an hour to me sitting in this sort of, like, mini recording studio in my house with my wife looking through the door going, how much longer are you going to be in there?
So I have to ask you a big question. You've got a daughter, does she skate?
Yeah, she does, but she's not really interested. I've tried to sort of, I have tried. She, when I had Vicky Fiedler on, it was
involved
on Alien Thing, she asked me exactly the same question. And Josh was boxing before COVID.
That could serve well in hockey.
Yeah, yeah. I'd got permission from her mum to actually turn her over amateur.
Oh,
and
wow.
We were all good to go. And from the people, from my involvement in the sport and the people I knew in the coaching of the sport, they'd said, she's got it. You know, if she goes amateur 2-3 years, she'll be a national champion because she's got it. Yeah. And yeah, COVID hit, it all stopped, and she's not gone back to it since.
I think the thing is as well, you know, to the point, you can't force a person to do something they don't want to do. My thing when I was younger was golf. And my dad was a fabulous guy for so many reasons. But he wanted me to be a really good golfer, and I probably could have been. But because he wanted me to be, it's like, well, I'm not going to do something you want me to do.
They're rebellion.
Why would I do that? You know, I think it's a natural thing of kids. It's kind of, so what I've tried to do with both of mine is encourage them to do it and say, look, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you do want to do it, I want you to do it for you, not for me.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, if either of them have a bad day at the office, I'll never say, well, that was bad, that was, you know, and it's the same with any other girls, I try and lift them, right? So it's kind of, when it comes to my two, it's, well, that didn't look right, why don't you speak, maybe you just need to speak to one of your coaches and either validate what my thoughts are or come back to me and go, no, we do it this way because of X, Y, Z. Because I don't know everything. Kira was a much better netminder within 6 months of her picking up a set of pads than I will ever be. And Ellie's a better rink skater. I mean, the last time I went on a rink as a player, Russ Rickett upended me. Not maliciously. He got his stick caught in my skate, thought I was holding his stick and yanked it. And I went up and landed with my knee in my chest and smashed my head on the ice. I'm like, do you know, I'm going in goal. It's safer.
I'm really hoping, actually, to get a go with the Reapers at some point. They do keep sort of offering the extended hand out.
Do it.
Yeah, honestly. I really do want to have a go. I played a bit of roller hockey as a kid because I couldn't afford to play ice hockey and I was a little bit too far away from Chelsea. But I'm really, really eager to give it a go.
Honestly, they're a great bunch of guys as well. And that's kind of where I went out with the Mischiefs and the Reapers. You know, it's everyone's got to start somewhere. And I think that from a wider thing, there's so many people. If you go to a Reaper session, it's rammed, up to the max capacity they can have. Because there's so many people, I guess, like you and me, and, you know, even guys in their kind of late teens, the twins down at the rink, they got involved in it. They asked about ice hockey in the 16s, so it was too late and the ship sailed. And I think probably there's a lot of learn to play in dev teams around the country, and I think that's great because you've then got people who kind of have the means to play, but haven't developed the ability, and then pick up the ability to slowly through playing, you know, sort of learn to play hockey. So, and then, you know, once they get to a comparable standard, they move into Chargers or they move into Mischiefs or Medway Eagles or Romford Renegades or whatever it might be. So, you know, there is a thriving kind of adult development world. And again, this, you know, going back to the female hockey, that's what Vicky and the guys and Danielle and those guys within the Cobras organisation are championing as well, because they're somewhat oversubscribed. So you've now got the Adders, which is, you know, where relatively new players can go out and learn their craft.
Yeah, yeah. So, it'll be another one of them things where my wife will look at me and go, you don't do enough that you want to go and have an 11:30 face-off in Coventry for beer league.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, right? So, like I say, I'm like the square root of awful when I come to playing hockey. So, but I go out and enjoy it and I have a giggle. So, you let me when you go out and I'll stick my pants back on.
Oh, absolutely. I will definitely let you know.
You come and throw pucks at me instead.
Let's see if I can hit it without falling over.
Well, just stand still to start off with. You can hit it when you're standing still.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I was quite handy at roller hockey. My hand eye was always quite good. I was a half decent football player until my knee blew out on me. But
yeah. So maybe being a goalie in ice is not a good idea then, if you've got a weak neck.
Yeah, no. If I get down into that butterfly, I'm not getting up.
Well, yeah, sometimes I'm the same, but I think that's more gravity working against me. It's not my lack of decent knees. It's more a case of I'm a lump, and it can be a bit of a challenge. So, but it's probably not the best thing to decide to be a goalie when you're 45. It can get quite infectious in that, you know, you might go along and borrow some kit, or the Reapers will loan you some kit for you to go out, and you'll come off either hating it, which is highly unlikely, or you go, do you know, I'm coming back next week.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll shove my tenner in the pot, go out and have a giggle with a bunch of blokes and women who go along, and just, you know, I'll wobble along, working on my skills slowly. You know, because there are guys that go out in that sort of environment who do literally can barely stand up.
Yeah.
But they want to give it a go. And then you get a year down the track and they're starting to become quite tasty at what they do. So, you know, it's a brilliant way to get into it.
Yeah, if nothing else, it'll make for an entertaining YouTube video. And it'll kind of top me off. I never started boxing until I was 30.
Oh, so you not?
So if I start playing ice hockey at 40, that'll probably...
Hey, spring chicken, you've got 10 years on me. So yeah, we'll go for it. I remember I used to work for a fella, and we were talking about a particular car, and he said to me, as long as it's not illegal and moral and it's not going to hurt anybody, expect to regret something you've done and something you haven't.
Absolutely. That is a motto to live by.
Don't be here in 10 years time going, I had that conversation with James and I wish I'd gone out, and now I'll tell you what, actually, it's funny, I spoke to a guy just before I started to go out. I was chatting to a guy who was 47. And it was before the rink shut down. So it still took me a couple of years to kind of summon the energy and the inclination to go out. And this guy motivated me a little bit because he just turned around the base. He said, you say you're old, next week be older. Week after that, be even older. Just do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've got a point. What's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to make an idiot myself. And you may be out there. I mean, I remember my first going goal, Shane, lent me a lid and a stick, and I cobbled together a few bits of second-hand kit, and I kind of came out trying to do butterflies and nearly ripped my knees straight away. But I came out, and he came roaring down the top of a face-off circle, launched a slap shot at me, hit me the forehead and stuck me on my back. And I just kind of, in a dazed state, going, this is how this is going to go. Right, okay, yeah, I'm coming back next week. This is awesome. So...
Well, it was similar like that with me with boxing, as we were saying earlier about, you know, people learning to take hits and give hits. Someone said to me when I started boxing is, you wait till someone really hits you in the face, then you'll know.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I actually love nothing more than getting smashed in the face. I really enjoy it.
I'm ugly enough. I don't need any help in that department. That's why I wear a cage. When I used to play on the rink, I always wore a cage. It's like, yeah. But it's, honestly, man, have a go. Right. what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to come off and go, do you know this isn't for me? That's the worst that's going to happen.
The worst.
on the flip side, the worst thing that can happen is, right, I'm going down to see Pete and I'm going to spend a load of money on a load of spanking new kit and go out and do nonsense every week. It's wicked. It's so good.
No, well, mate, I really appreciate your time coming on the podcast, as I'm sure everybody involved in the Chelmsford Academy appreciates your time and effort that you put in with the Academy as a whole and especially with the girls.
Thank you very much. And I guess thanks for asking me on. I know we keep bumping into each other, but I suppose the other thing is I feel like I have a lot more to be thankful for than anybody else does to me, because the last, crikey Moses, I guess 7 years between watching and getting involved in it have been an absolute blast, and I don't think there's anything that could make the experience better. It's not without its stresses, but just yourself being one, like, just so many amazing people you get to talk to, and like you say, Sunday nights in McDonald's at Boreham or over the road, eating junk, talking about hockey, you know, life doesn't get any better.
Nah. James Wellington, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Yeah, and you, bud, have a good one.
Cheers. Hey guys, it's Ben from Zero Pucks Given. I just want to tell you a little bit about our new sponsor on the podcast, Manscaped. A lot of modern men now do enjoy some manscaping. I myself, as a bald man, I take care of my hair myself, but I like to keep my beard nice and trim, and I like to keep my eyebrows, my ears, my nose, and my chest, and my private area all quite sort of neat and tidy as well. And as someone who's done their own grooming for a long time, I've always struggled to find a trimmer that was actually really, really easy to use, really good quality, and a wireless one particularly that held a good charge. Normally, sort of one go over my beard and that's it, they're dead. So when Manscaped sent me their products and asked to be involved with the podcast, I absolutely jumped at the chance, because I've been wanting to try their products for an awful long time. And now I finally have, I can tell you with absolute integrity, this is the best wireless trimmer I have ever used. This is the Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. It's really, really solid piece of a kit. It's designed brilliantly so it fits in your hand. There's a nice rubber grip on it. The buttons are nice and solid. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It has an interchangeable head so that you can change it for this little sort of close shave razor there to do the sort of more sensitive areas, get the skin nice and tight and sort of go over that so you don't get any long hairs. One of the most impressive things about this is this blade has skin-safe technology. So even if you're not being overly careful, you will not cut yourself, you will not nick yourself. And when you're doing those sort of more private areas, that's incredibly important and something that I've always struggled with in the past, to find something that was really safe to use in that area. And the fact that you can do this in the shower just means you don't make any mess anywhere either. Now, as a product, that's probably the best wireless trimmer I've used. Obviously, with the width of it, it doesn't fit up your nose or in your ears. So they have the Weed Whacker 2.0. Again, brilliant design so that it fits perfectly in your hand. It's got a really good rubber coating, a really sturdy button, and the motor in it, it sounds like a Tesla when you start it up. And if you just trim your nose hairs and your ears hairs, no pain whatsoever. The motor spins so fast that it just trims everything down really, really low. And it's a fantastic product. Another part of the set they sent me is a little lotion, an aftershave lotion to put on yourself after you've shaved, particularly more in that private area, because you don't want any sort of flare-ups going red or any sort of itching to happen down there. And this is absolutely fantastic. And then once you've done that, you can use what they call the crop preserver, which is actually a sort of form of lotion and deodorant for your balls, which is absolutely brilliant. And it's a feeling, particularly as I travel a lot for my work, so I'm sitting in a vehicle a lot of the time driving, and no itching, no chafing whatsoever. This stuff is absolutely amazing. As soon as I run out of this, I'm buying more, because it's absolutely terrific. When you get this package from Manscaped, you also get boxer shorts, which are bamboo and then sort of a silk lining in the middle, which just feels absolutely incredible, and a really solidly built waistband as well, which is brilliant on a good pair of boxer shorts. I don't know if this comes in it as well. This T-shirt came with me because I'm going to be promoting Manscaped as long as they want to be involved with the podcast, and I think it's great products, a great little wash bag as well. So if you want to buy any Manscaped products, head over to manscaped.com. Have a little look through what they've got, decide what it is you think is going to be best for you, and then when you check out, make sure you use the code ZEROPUCKS, all one word, all caps, and that will get you 20% off plus free shipping all over the world. I think it's an absolutely brilliant deal. It's for male grooming, it's the best product I've ever used. As a little side note to that, if you do actually buy some Manscaped products and use the Zero Pucks code, send me a little proof of purchase that you've done that, or a little selfie of yourself when the stuff arrives, and you'll be entered into the draw to win a Zero Pucks Given hoodie, which is another little sort of, just another little treat for me, because I want these people involved in the podcast because I really like the product and I think it's a great product. So I would really like you guys to enjoy it as well. And if you're good enough to want to buy it and use the code that you get from this podcast, then I want to give something back to you as well. So thanks for listening. I know that the ads in the podcast can be a little bit of a bore sometimes, but this one is, so it's coming from me because I truly believe in it. So I really hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and thank you so much for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.